Michael Abramsky, if he wasn't prepared the way he wanted to be for a shir, he wouldn't give this shir. Okay. So I'm not Rabbi Yecheskel Abramsky, and we'll try our best. Okay, Or HaChaim HaKadosh, Parshas Kisavo, Tavshin Ayin Vav. We'll start from the beginning. We'll start from the very beginning. Easy to find. Vaya Kisavo al Aretz. Let's read the Pesukim. A person comes to Eretz Yisrael. Asher Hashem Elokecha Nosein Lecha Nachala. I'm reading out of the Chumash. Vivishta Vyashavta Ba. And you will inherit the land, and you will settle the land. Vilakachta Mirishis Kopri Adama Asher Tavi Mi Artzacha, Asher Hashem Elokecha Nosein Lach. Visamta Batana, you'll take your first fruits from the land which HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given you, and you'll place them in a tenna, in a basket, and you'll go to the Beis HaMikdash, the place where God's presence is found. Okay? So, mitzvahs bikurim. Says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, the first thing that a Jew can never allow himself to forget, even when he is justifiably living in Washington Heights, or in any other part of Chutz La'aretz. A Jew's heart and mind and body has to always be thinking and longing and hopefully living and getting towards Eretz Yisrael. Why? Amar says, the Rechaim HaKadosh, V'haya Lashon Simcha. We know from the Medrash that any time you encounter the word V'haya, it's a code word. Whenever you encounter in Tanakh, I think there are five times we encounter V'yihi B'mei, and it was in the days of, that symbolizes something bad is about that. Vayhi b'mei Achashverosh. Migilas Rus. Vayhi b'mei Shvot HaShoftim. Terrible famine. Right? Vayhi b'mei is a code word for something bad. Vayhi, Stam, is debated in Chazal. It seems that the normative opinion is, as presented in Meseches Megillah, sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. It depends on the context. That's Vayhi. V'haya, Vavhe Yudhe. And by the way, notice that these words that we're talking about, Vayhi versus V'haya, it's the letters of Hashem's name, right? Depending on the arrangement of the letters of Hashem's name, it's either good or it's bad. V'haya is always a code word, says the Medrash. The Gemara doesn't discuss it, but the Medrash says it's a Lashon of Simcha. So says the Rechaim HaKadosh, read the first five words of the Parsha and remind yourself how important Eretz Yisrael is. V'haya ki savo el ha'aretz. The Simcha that a Jew feels, that a Jew will feel or feels when he comes to Eretz Yisrael. Alach eskam v'kal, when we finally come with the Gula Shlema to settle Eretz Yisrael in its ideal fashion. Amar v'haya lashon simcha. L'ha'ir she'ein l'smalach ela b'yeshiva sa'aretz. That there is no simcha, there's no greater joy than the settling of Eretz Yisrael. Like it says in the Pasuk in Tehillim, oz yamale schok pino. When the Kadosh Baruch Hu brings us all back to Eretz Yisrael, we're going to be laughing, we're going to be rejoicing, because there's an unbelievable joy that a person feels and should feel, even now, brachas kam v'kama then, when we think about the gift of Eretz Yisrael. There's a Hebrew volume called Rabbi Meir Omer. It's a biographical work about Rabbi Meir Shapiro. So in Rabbi Meir Omer, on page 40, it says that one time a group of students came to Rabbi Meir Shapiro. Rabbi Meir Shapiro, of course, was the Lubliner Rav, the founder of the Daf Yomi, Chachmei Lublin. They came to Rabbi Meir Shapiro and they said, Rabbi, we're traveling to Eretz Yisrael. So he said, I want to tell you three things. Number one, I want to tell you what the Rechaim HaKadosh says, the beginning of Parshas, Kisavo. V'haya Kisavo. What a simcha it is that you're going to Eretz Yisrael. The simcha when a Jew goes to Eretz Yisrael. The second thing I want to tell you is a Zohar. The Zohar says, we have a pasuk that says, Ivdu es Hashem b'simcha. We have another pasuk that says, Ivdu es Hashem b'yira. How do I reconcile those two psukim? Says the Holy Zohar, when you're in Eretz Yisrael, it's Ivdu es Hashem b'simcha. When you're living amongst the nations of the world, it's Ivdu es Hashem b'yira. There's a certain simcha of Avodas Hashem that can only be experienced when a Jew is properly in his place in Eretz Yisrael. That's the second vart I want to tell you, says Rabbi Meir Shapiro. The third thing I want to tell you is that if you'll notice that when Yaakov left Eretz Yisrael to go to Chutz La'aretz, back in Chumash Bereishis, when Yaakov Avinu left, he only offered on his Mizbeach oil. He poured oil on the Mizbeach, not wine. Why? Because when a Jew leaves Eretz Yisrael, there's no wine. Yayin yismach levav enosh. Wine makes a man happy. When he left Eretz Yisrael, there's no wine. And when he left Eretz Yisrael, the sun set prematurely. When he came back to Eretz Yisrael, look in the Pesukim. Says Rav Meir Shapiro, Yaakov offered not only oil, but he also offered wine. He was Manasseh, he poured wine to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And not only did the sun not set prematurely, but as the Pasuk says, that the sun shone upon Yaakov Avinu, Zarchala HaShemesh, when he came to that place called Penuel. Okay, so these were the three things that Rav Meir Shapiro told his students to think about when they go to Eretz Yisrael. But first and foremost on his list was this comment to the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. A Jew has to understand that our whole life is frightening and scary and b'di'evet when we're in Chutz La'aretz. And the true simcha that a Jew experiences in being connected to a Kadosh Baruch Hu can only be attained in Eretz Yisrael. Let's keep reading. Asher Hashem Elokecha nosein lecha nachal avirishta. Tzarech ledas mahi gzeras hakasam. What's going on in these psukim? I mean, there are shorter ways to get to the point of bringing your bikur. It says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, come to the land that Hashem is giving you as a nachla, as an inheritance. V'yirishta, and you will possess it. V'yashavtaba, and you will settle it. Right, so what's going on here? And then finally you bring your bikurim, just get to the bikurim already. Im v'lakachta v'gomer, havi leilamei martikach meireshis. Kevin shehu aschalas atzivoy. Right? Why? What's being commanded us in this pasuk? Is it just about bikurim, or are there other levels to this gezeiras hakasav, to the command in these series of psukim? So he says, really, Hashem is commanding us four things. Four mitzvos emerge from the opening psukim of Kisav. V'nira shekavanas hakasav hi sheyetzav Hashem dalet mitzvos. Number one, echad. Sheyeda belibo kilo bekocho velo beotzem guraso ba lareshes haaretz ela matat Hashem. You should realize that coming to Eretz Yisrael is not based on your own strength or your own military prowess. It's simply a gift from Hashem, as the pasuk emphasizes. Asher Hashem Elokecha nosein lecha. It's a matana. Don't ever forget that. V'hu omro. And that's why the pasuk tells us, Asher Hashem Elokecha nosein lecha, v'dikdek lomar Hashem Elokecha. The pasuk emphasizes that Hashem, your God, has given it to you. So in case you're wondering what the purpose of Eretz Yisrael is the purpose of Eretz Yisrael shawarma and falafel? Is the purpose of Eretz Yisrael beautiful mountaintops and valleys? Is the purpose of Eretz Yisrael gorgeous beaches? Is the purpose of Eretz Yisrael unbelievably delicious fruit? Right? I can think of a lot of reasons to enjoy the land, to appreciate the land. Is it simply a safe haven from our enemies? What's Eretz Yisrael about? You know what the answer is? Hashem Elokecha. La'ir sha'al menas yekabel elokuso alav hu nosein. Hashem gave you this land that there should be a place on planet Earth where you actually feel that I'm in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because when we're in Chutz La'aretz, it's very easy to not perceive Hashem. And the second you step off that plane, or in the good old days, that boat, and you come into Eretz Yisrael, immediately you feel that you're in the presence of Hashem. So Hashem says, I'm giving you a gift. Don't think you earned it. Don't think you own it. Don't think it's with your own strength that it became yours. It's mamish a gift. And the miracles that we've seen certainly indicate that it's a gift in recent years. But realize that I'm giving it to you for the purpose of asher what? Asher Hashem Elokecha. So that this can be a place where you acquire godliness. That's first and foremost. Beis, the second thing I want you to know. So you might say, okay. So I come to Eretz Yisrael and I appreciate the gift. And I realize the tachlis of Eretz Yisrael is Elokus. But maybe I could allow some of the other nations of the world to also live there. Says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. Now we'll see. It might be a little jarring at times to some of our modern sensibilities, which those sensitivities that we have may be good or may be bad. I'm not paskening on our feelings at this time. But you'll see that the Or HaChaim HaKadosh sometimes speaks very strongly against the nations of the world. Now again, I don't know if it's healthy for us to always look out the window and see every person in the street as our enemy, as evil, as bad. We know that the Ummah Salam also created B'Tselem Elokim. But the Rachayim HaKadosh writes very, very strongly sometimes about how dangerous our enemies are. And we have to know that also. There are a lot of people in the world who would love to kill the Jewish people and to kill the Jewish religion. So we can't be naive about that. We can't be foolish about it. So a person comes to Eretz Yisrael and he says, okay, fine, we're in Eretz Yisrael, but let the nations live amongst us. So therefore the pasuk is very clear. V'rishta, beis, lahorish ha'aretz miyoshveh. Make sure you conquer the land and settle the land.
Hagam sheyesh lo davar hamaspik lo ba'aretz. Afal pichein yigaresh oyve Hashem me'artzo. V'hu omro v'irishta. It's not enough for you to say, well, you know, there's plenty of room for both of us here. Right? We can live side by side. Maybe that'll work. So I think modern history has clearly shown, right, that it doesn't seem to work so well. And there are enemies of the Jewish people, and the land is ours. And we have to feel that it's ours. We shouldn't feel embarrassed to admit that Eretz Yisrael is ours. It's the first Rashi in Chumash. Shlish is number three. The third thing that the Pasuk is emphasizing, not only that Eretz Yisrael is a place of God awareness and appreciate the gift of Eretz Yisrael, not only do you need to drive out the enemies, but as simple as you could say it, Eretz Yisrael is a mitzvah. Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is a mitzvah. Okay, now the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh here in the early 1700s is weighing in on something that's been debated through the ages, is one of the 613 mitzvahs, the mitzvah of living in Israel. The Rambam doesn't clearly count it. The Ramban says he missed it. The super commentaries, the Mefarshim on the Rambam, yeah, and the commentaries on those commentaries all try to figure out, can we squeeze it into the words of the Rambam? Is it included in another mitzvah? Does Rambam really not hold it to mitzvah? He does hold it to mitzvah, d'oraisa, but he included it with a different mitzvah, or he holds it to rabbanon. Okay. The Moshe Feinstein, it's a mitzvah kiyumis, you don't have to live in Eretz Yisrael, but if you do, it's a mitzvah. Says the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, I want to weigh in on this debate. And the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh paskins, shlishis, yeshiva sa'aretz, shi mitzvah ifnei atzma. Living in the land of Israel is a mitzvah, independent of everything else that we just said. It's a mitzvah. Look how much Chazal emphasized in the Gemara in Ksubis, the mitzvah yeshiva sa'aretz, the gift and the importance of living in Eretz Yisrael, kipshuto, besides all those other aspects that we mentioned. And Revius, last but not least, the Pasuk is telling us, when you come to Eretz Yisrael, you bring your Bikurim from the fruits of Eretz Yisrael, from the best fruits of Eretz Yisrael. Revius, Havas, Bikurim, Ka'amro, Vilakacht. Okay? Okay. Let's jump ahead to Pasuk Hei, Va'anisa Va'amarta. Skip a couple paragraphs. Va'anisa Va'amarta. What does it mean, Va'anisa Va'amarta? Va'anisa Va'amarta. When you bring your Bikurim, Va'anisa Va'amarta. Article translates Va'anisa Va'amarta. Then you shall call out and say, Va'anisa, B'kol Ram. Right? You should enunciate loudly and proudly. What should you say? Arami Ovid Avi V'yerid Mitzrayma V'yagor Sham V'misei Ma'at. You know the Pesukim from the Haggadah. Right? An Aramean tried to destroy our father and we ended up in Mitzrayim. And we were small and the Mitzrayim were strong and they made us work. And then Baruch Hashem. No, what do we call this? What phrase do we use to describe this whole parsha of Rami Ovid Avi? What term do we know from Mesechus Pesachim that describes what these Pesukim are walking us through? There's this walk through Jewish history. Maskil b'gnos m'sayim b'shvach, right? We started off an oppressed people. We were bullied by Lavan. Then we were bullied by the Egyptians. And we worked so hard. And we cried out to Hashem. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved us and He took us to Eretz Yisrael. So now when a Jew comes to Eretz Yisrael and he's actually farming the land and he has some beautiful rimonim growing on his tree, as a sign of a karas hatov, he brings those first fruits to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay? So what's the Ve'anisa Ve'amarta? Article says, Ve'anisa, you should call out and say. Says the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, what does the word Ve'anisa mean? So it could be, he says, Yesh Mefarshim Lashon Haschala. Ve'anisa could mean that one begins to say. Right? One should begin by saying. Meaning, that in addition to bringing the Bikurim, right? When we talk about the mitzvah of Bikur, we're not actually talking about a single mitzvah, we're talking about two mitzvahs. There are two mitzvahs. There's the mitzvah of Havas Bikurim, bringing the Bikurim, and then there's the mitzvah of Kriyas Bikurim. Mesechus Bikurim, if you learn Mishnayos Bikurim, it begins by discussing how some people are obligated in both those mitzvahs. They have to bring the Bikurim and recite the Pesukim. Some people bring and don't say. Some people don't even have an obligation to bring, depending on, again, the nature of the fruits, the nature of the person. Okay? So Va'anisa Va'amarta, says the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, Va'anisa Va'amarta, one begins by saying, Va'anisa, where do we see the Va'anisa as a Lashon of Aschala? It says that Iov, when he began to speak, Va'ya'an Iov. It doesn't just mean that Iov responded, right? Which of course that Shorash also alludes to, but it means Iov began what was going to become a very long
philosophical debate between Eov and his friends. Okay, so Vayan implies a certain hakadama, a certain haschala, an introduction, a beginning of something. So when you bring your fruits, you begin by making this declaration. It's not enough to just drop off your fruits and walk away. When you drop off those fruits, you need to pause and think for a second. Wow, we were slaves in Mitzrayim, we were bullied by Lavan, we were nearly destroyed. And now Hashem brought us to Eretz Yisrael. What a privilege it is to give my first fruits back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But then he says a second shot. And I think it's really the same idea. He says, Va'anisa might be a lashon of an ani, of a poor person. Because if a person really begins his Havas Bikurim with this declaration, meaning if he becomes aware of what he's saying, if he thinks about these words, Arami Ovid Avi, the Eretz Mitzrayim, if he thinks about these words in a deep way, he feels like an ani. What do you mean he feels like an ani? Maybe he has tons and tons of fruit growing in his field, but he feels, I can never repay HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the kindness that he's done for me. Let's look at the words. V'afshar shehu oni ka'odom pachos shekibel tova gedola mimelech. Imagine, he says, it's like, he says, v'anisa is a lashon of a person, his expression is one of an ani, of a person who received, a lowly person, a adam pachos, who receives a tremendous gift from the melech. Shemani atzmo lefanov, that he humbles himself, he feels ashamed before him. Belev nishbar, like we spoke about it in the Gerasa Tshuva, like brokenhearted before the king. Kamo kein hu yachnia atzmo lefnei Hashem. That's how we come before Hashem. It's not with any sense of gaiva, right, or any sense of burden that I'm giving Hashem these fruits. I'm giving them because really, Hashem, you really deserve all my fruits, and I feel that, and I recognize it, and I come humbled before you. Vayomer, and then he begins his declaration. Arami Oved Avi, Ki Avinu Hayu Oved V'Toev V'Golav Mitzrayim M'Sei Ma'at. Look at the history of the Jewish people. We were lost. We were downtrodden. Right, few in number in Mitzrayim. V'Yotzieinu Hashem Mitzrayim V'Avieinu. U'Kenegin Maimer Zesh Yeshbo Iloi V'Chashivas Amar V'Amarta. Look what he's saying here. V'Anisa V'Amarta. First, we start off V'Anisa. We start off very humbled, feeling very unworthy, reminding ourselves of our very lowly place from which we came, right? But then the expression has to change. The Torah is demanding. We can't always be so negative. So we have to change from the Va'anisa, that broken-hearted Lev Nishbar declaration, to Va'amarta, to be able to say it with confidence, to say it with good feelings. We'll see later in the parasha, the pasuk says, Es Hashem Ha'emircha Hayom. Ha'emircha means that you made it distinct, you made it recognizable, something chashuv. So amarta implies, the very shorish, aleph mem resh, implies something chashuv, something beloved. Yeah? How do you say love in French? Where do you think that comes from? Where do you think that word comes from? It's this word, amar. Right? Amarta. So you say it with confidence, with love, with good feelings. All the languages of the world are taken from Lashon HaKodesh. We start off with the negativity. We remind ourselves of our troubled past, but then we have to emerge. We have to gain confidence because Hashem wants us. He loves us. He chose us. Okay, let's keep going. Now the Rechaim Kadosh says, let's talk more allegorically. Yes, there's a physical land that we're trying to get to. It's called Eretz Yisrael. But there's also a spiritual land that we're trying to get to, called Olam Haba. V'itzatzi v'parsha zu sh'romezes gam kein bias eretz ha'elyona. What's hinted to in this parsha is also the desire of a Jew to come to eretz ha'elyona, right? To the world to come, to the land that's yet to be. V'amr v'haya ki savo she'ein roi la'adam lismalach ela k'sheyavo la'aretz ha'elyona. Like we said before, v'haya means what? There's a simcha. When will I feel true simcha? Kisava, when I go to Olam Haba. What Dor HaChaim again is doing, and again this is the theme that we will see over and over again, the same way that he praises the Jewish people a lot and is often extremely critical of the Umos HaOlam, he will often remind us that this world is Hevel Havalim, that this world is nothing, that the pleasures of this world are fleeting, that the joy that you experience in this world is not true joy, and therefore, Vahaya, when will you have real Simcha? Kisava, when you come to Eretz Elyon, when you come to Olam Haba. When you come to the world to come, she'ein roi la'adam, right? L'smalach ela k'shiyavo la'aretz elyona. Al derech omer, like it says in Mishlei, va'tischak liyom acharon. When we get there, you know the Gemara says you're not allowed. It's aser. The Gemara Brachos says it's aser for a person to fill his mouth with laughter in this world. It's a halacha. You're not allowed to laugh uncontrollably in this world. Because this world is just not that happy. We'll get there. Because the joy of this world is worthlessness, is nothingness. And therefore the Torah goes on and tells us, what land are we talking about? Where is this land? What is this? Realize that again, whatever you have in store for you, the unbelievable gifts of the world to come, right, we can't even begin to imagine. And even the smallest portion in that world is infinitely greater than anything that we're gifted in this world. So you'll say, what do you mean it's a matana? So I don't have to do anything. Just sit back. Why work hard in this world? If the next world is going to be a gift, and this world can never satisfy me. So I can just sit on the couch for my whole life. Never do anything. So what's our responsibility in this? He says, that's what the pasuk says. Therefore the Torah tells us what? You need to possess it. You need to dwell within it. What does that mean? You have to work at it. You have to take possession of it. You have to try to bekona it. And then you'll be able to sit in it the way that the Gemara describes. Tzadikim sitting in the world of truth with crowns on their head. Okay, fine. Good. Now jump ahead to the next... let's move ahead a little bit. You see where it says, Va'omro v'samto batena. I like gematria, so I'll show you a gematria. Or Chaim HaKadosh doesn't quote a lot of gematrias, but he has a gematria here. So again, I'll fill in the gaps. Skip two paragraphs ahead. So a person, again, he's working towards earning his Olam Haba because he realizes that this world is fleeting. And he wants to one day wear the crown like the Tzaddikim Lassid Lavo. And he's giving his best to Hashem. That's the Bikurim. But Lakach the Mirashis Kol Pri, he's giving his best efforts to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? And then it says, what do you do with your Bikurim? V'samta batena. Make sure your first fruits are placed in a basket. Now how do you explain that? What does it mean to put your mitzvahs in a basket? So he says, V'omro v'samta batena, look what he says, Yirmos. She'tzarech kol mifalot ha'tovot. She'asa. Yeh alpi divrayim. Make sure that you don't spend your life saying, I'm a good guy, I do a lot of good things. So Hashem says, well, what's the litmus test if you're a good guy and you do a lot of good things? Right? I do good things. I know I do good things. I'm a good guy. Right? Are all my words in accord? Are all my actions, what I consider to be, you know, the definition of what makes me a good guy, are my actions in accordance with Torah? More than that, do I have the respect that I should have for Chazal, for Torah Sheba'al Peh? Right? Do I respect every word of Shas? V'samta batena, says the Rechaim HaKadosh, make sure that all of your actions are al-pi divrehem, in accordance with the words of the Torah and the words of Chazal. Ka'omro, al-pi ha-Torah she'yerucha v'al-mishpat v'gomer, like we learned in Parsha Shoftim. Whatever the Talmid HaChacham, the Tzaddikim of the generation tell you to do, you should not stray, neither to the right, neither to the left. So you can walk around your whole life thinking you're a really good guy, right? But it could be you don't really have respect for the system. You don't care about the details of halacha. You don't respect the gzeros derabanan. So then you're not really such a great guy. Make sure that your good deeds, your first fruit, your best actions are placed in a basket. He says, well, how do I know? I mean, the Torah is hard to read. So I turn to the sages. And where do the sages express themselves? In the basket. Tene, he says, is gematria 60. And it alludes to the 60 mesechtos of Shas. Make sure your first fruits are in the basket. Make sure that everything you do is in accordance with Chazal. Make sure you fully respect the system. Don't decide to, I'm a Torah Jew, but I have my own Torah. I have my own way of looking at things. That's nice. That may be very nice. It might make you feel good. But that's not living a life of true Torah living. Shezula zeh agam shiyasa kol ha-mitzvah sheba'olam yisarif hu vahem. V'omr v'halachta el-makom. There's a process of getting to the place. A person, he goes on, he says, might need to go through a period of time cleansing the soul in order to eventually get there. Uvasel HaKohen, the neshama is given over to Michal, the Malach of the Jewish people in Shemayim, who's going to check you and see, you know, are all your mitzvot really in the basket? Is everything that you're doing really in accordance with Orthodox tradition, with true Torah tradition? Right? Or am I making up my own religion? And am I doing things to change Torah in a way that's not true and authentic to the way that it's meant to be? Okay? Okay. Alright, let's go to the Omro Va'anisa Va'amarta, right after that. Right after the paragraph of Vasel HaKohen. Just go ahead, one more paragraph. Va'omro Va'anisa Va'amarta. On the same theme that we said before, that a person comes before Hashem Va'anisa, he's humbled before Hashem. Says the Rechaim HaKadosh, there is nothing we can really do to repay Hashem for all that He's done for us. And there are excuses that we make, maybe justified, maybe not so justified. Vanisa v'amarta perish. Lefisha kol asher yasa odam miatovos v'olam haza. Ein dai l'ratzos melech elyon. No matter how much we do, and we should try to do a lot, there's really nothing that we can do to what? To fully serve Hashem properly. Even if I'm bringing the best of my first fruits. But it's only my first fruits, I'm just a beginner. A Jew has to always feel, I haven't done enough, I've only brought a little, I brought my first fruits, I've just begun the process. What does Moshe say at the end of his life? Ata achilos, Hashem, you've just begun to speak to me. Seriously? The last 40 years, you haven't taken one sick day, Moshe Rabbeinu. You haven't taken a vacation. Yeah? You're working around the clock. What do you mean? You've just begun. But Moshe said, yes, when I'm dealing with the world of Hashem, which is endless, I always feel like a beginner. So I tried my best. Via Rashta, I tried to conquer the land, I tried to own the land, I tried to earn my Olam Haba, and I brought my fruits. But there's a feeling that I can never appease the Melech Elyon. Say Ulamad, come and learn from the Gemara in Eirvin Daf Yud Zayin. Take a look at this Gemara. Im Yavo, this is a little scary, this paragraph. I apologize for sharing it with you. But it's close to the Yom HaDin, so we should try to demand of ourselves a little more. Im Yavo b'mishpat, im Avram Yitzchak v'Yakov, ein an yecholin lamo lefanav, ki ma yitzdak enosh. The Gemara says that when Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov tried to say, Hashem, at least we did a good job, right? Hashem says, no, you could have done better. I remember one of the most frightening things I probably saw Shana Aleph. I don't remember who showed it to me, so I don't bear a grudge. But if I remember it, I probably would bear a grudge because it's so terrifying. If you look in the Nefesh HaChaim, in the Shaar Dalet, which of course where he speaks so strongly and so passionately about the importance of Torah, which is certainly something we have to value. There's a Medrash in Mishle that he quotes there. Medrash Mishle, I think it's Parsha Yod, or Yod Aleph. In the Nefesh HaChaim, it's in Shaar Dalet. What does the Medrash say? The Medrash says, woe to the day of judgment. Everyone comes before Hashem, and the Medrash says, you're guaranteed to fail. You're not going to pass the test. Someone comes before Hashem and says, I know the five books of Moses with the commentary of Rashi. Test me on it. Hashem says, that's nice. What about Mishnah? Mishnah? No, a couple of Masechtas. So that's it. Tegehenim. Next guy comes, I know Chumash, I know Mishnah. You know Gemara? All of Shas? Yeah, you know all of Shas? 2,711 pages. You got it down? No, not really. Okay, no good. Next guy comes, I know Chumash, I know Mishnah, I know Shas. So Hashem says, Bavli and Yerushalmi? He says, Rav Hashem, no one knows Yerushalmi. Hashem says, why not? Why not? Got him. Right? So then the next person comes. I didn't share this story, but whenever we started learning Tzidkas HaTzadik 2 weeks ago on Tuesday nights, so I hope people will join us. If you haven't joined us yet, we're having a good time. There's a story I like to tell just to highlight how a Jew has to feel that he's always a beginner. It's a very powerful story. Rav Yaakov Haber, who used to be the Rav of my wife's shul in Muncie before he moved to Eretz Yisrael, he once went to Rav Shach. Went to Rav Shach. Rav Shach was one of the Gedolei Yisrael. Passed away not that long ago. How many years ago? I don't know, 12 years ago. So he once went to Rav Shach to speak to him about Inyanim of Chinuch. And Rabbi Haber took along in the car ride, in the taxi ride, he took along a copy of the Sefer Tzidkas HaTzadik from Sadek Kohen of Lublin. The Rav Shach
lived over to the age of over 100. Rav Shach was like well on in his years at the time of this conversation. Okay? Entire lifetime, Rosh Hashiva Panovich from the Gedol Yisrael wrote a beautiful commentary on the Rambam, like, you know, a successful Jew by most people's standards in terms of achievement and making a difference in Klal Yisrael. So anyway, so Rabbi Heber comes to Rav Shach. Rav Shach sees him holding the sefer, and he says, "What is that?" So he says, "It's Tzidkos HaTzadik from a Tzadok." So Rav Shach says, "I never learned it before. Can you show me something?" So he says, "Sure." So he shows him a piece. He learns a piece with Rav Shach, and Rav Shach started crying. Rav Shach's like 98 years old. He starts crying, and he says, "I've never heard Torah. I've never heard this style of Torah in my life. I've never heard anything like this in my life." He says, but at this point, he says, "I just can't. I can't enter into that world of Tzadik." So first of all, it says an amazing thing about the writings of Tzadik Kohen of Lublin. Right? That here you could have someone whose whole life was Torah, and then you taste a little word of Tzadik, and you see, wow, there's a whole nother layer of Torah to discover, to enjoy, and to learn from. Right? But it says an unbelievable thing about Rav Shach. Here was a person who, he didn't have to, he could have said, okay, no, it's not for me. He cried over the fact that he never heard this before. He cried. When the Chafetz Chaim saw the Noam Elimelech, he cried because he couldn't understand it. He looked at the Noam Elimelech and said, I don't know what this is. I don't understand this. And he cried over it. When Imre Amos showed the Chafetz Chaim the Noam Elimelech, he started crying because he couldn't understand it. That's how badly he wanted it. So you go back to that Medrash in Mishlei, right? And it says that a person always, you have to want more, and you have to want more, and you have to want more. Now, it's an unhealthy medrash to learn if you don't know how to ingest it in a healthy way, because you'll just be depressed. You say, I'm doomed to fail, I might as well give up.
That's right.
And that's the same thing I can do when I read this piece of Aruch Chaim HaKadosh. The piece says, you're going to come to the next world, and if Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov are failing, so what makes you think you're going to pass? But a person has some excuses. The excuses are somewhat a justification, and it's somewhat an excuse, and we have to navigate that carefully. Look what he says. A person comes to the Mishpah. Yeah? Lezeh amra Torah sheyitein tshuva l'Hashem. We can maybe make the following excuse to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. V'esnatzus al asher lo asa ratzoni yizbaruch k'mitztarech. Here's the reason I wasn't able to do as was expected of me. And what do we say? V'anisa v'amarta. I brought my first fruits. I tried my best, Hashem. What more do you want from me? V'anisa v'amarta lefnei Hashem arami oved avi. Don't forget that phrase, it could save you one day. Arami oved avi, an Aramean tried to destroy my father. You can save yourself on the Yom Din with that phrase. Arami oved avi. What does it mean? Arami, ze yetzer hara. Arami, osios ramai. Right? The trickster, haramai agadol, hanachash haya arum. The nachash was very clever, was very tricky. That long ago, from the beginning of time, we were set up to fail, Hashem. Shemirama abrios la'abdom. When we say Oved Avi, you know who we're talking about? What do the Mefarshei Apshat say? What does Rashi say? What does Rashbam say? What's the classic machlokas we've shown him regarding who's the Avi in this pasuk? One of two possibilities. Most people are going to say Yaakov, right? That Arami is who? Is Lavan. And the Aramean tried to destroy Yaakov. Okay, Yaakov suffered a lot in that base Lavan. The other strand of thought we have in the Rishonim is that Avi is Avraham. Right? But the Rechaim HaKadosh says, no, you know who Avi is? Let's go back to the original Arami and the original Avi. The first father, right? And the first trickster. The Nachash was Arum, Mikol Chayas Asad, the terrible trickery of the Nachash, who tried to destroy mankind. Avi, Perish, Adam Rishon. That Adam, from the beginning of time, Hashem, what do you want from us? You put such kochos in the world against us. Like it says in Yeshaya, Avicha Rishon Chata. We find that Adam Rishon is called an Av. V'ibdu v'gar misa lo v'ledor sabam achrav. V'hishush b'chol nafashos chelek hara. And the Nachash poisoned us. And now there's death in the world. And now there's evil in the world. V'zeh sod arla dvuka b'dam mi'betan u'mehe rayon. And that's the reason, by the way, a child, says the Rechaim HaKadosh, is born with arla, with a foreskin. Right? There's a foreign son. What? Hashem couldn't get it right? Hashem couldn't make us with a circumcised bris milah? The answer is that it's indicating that what? That we were poisoned. That every soul that comes to this world has been poisoned by the chet of Adam HaRishon. And the odds are against us. And the Yetzirah is working at us from day one. Perhaps even before we're born, according to the Machlokas, Rebbe and Antoninus, in the Gemara in Maseches Sanhedrin, the Chelek.
right? But certainly from the time you exit your mother's womb, you have Yetzer Hara. Yetzer Tov comes around the time of your bar mitzvah, according to Chazal and the Rishon. Which means you're 13 years behind schedule. Right? There's an arla that's covering over your heart and covering over your ears and covering over your bris milah that needs to be removed. It needs to be physically removed or has to be allegorically removed. Right? So Arami Oved Avi, the odds are against us, HaKadosh Baruch. What do you want? Look what he says in the next paragraph. Od Yirtza Ba'omra Avi. Who's the Avi that's trying to be destroyed? The Neshama. Shehi HaNeshama. Shekol Mo'atzo Sav Shal HaSatan La'abin HaNeshama. The Neshama is always under attack. So Hashem, what do you want from me? So I know Mishnah and I know Gemara Bavli, but I don't know Yerushalmi, and you're going to open up the gates of Gehenna under me. Don't forget this excuse. It's very important. Don't let it be an unjustifiable excuse. Don't allow yourself to make it easy on the Yetzer Hara. What do we say? What are we going to say in the Slichos? What do we say on Yom Kippur? Al-Chei Chachatanu Lefanecha B'Yetzer Hara. What on earth does that mean? What on earth does that mean? Al-Chei Chachatanu Lefanecha B'Yetzer Hara. What are we saying? What we're saying is that sometimes there were things that I didn't have a Yetzer Hara for, right? But over time I acquired a Yetzer Hara for it. I sought out new Yetzer Haras. I was bored of my old Yetzer Haras, so I went around asking the Yetzer Hara, could we try something new? And you found new desires that were so outside your comfort zone, because you just got bored of the old forbidden pleasures, so you found new things. That's Al-Chei Chachatanu Lefanecha B'Yetzer Hara. So don't make it easy on the Yetzer Hara. You got to fight back, as we've been learning the last couple of weeks. But there's a mitzvah that the Yetzer Hara is very strong. And when we came to Mitzrayim, we were Mesei Ma'at. And he had the upper hand, as the psukim go on. Okay? And therefore, every single day, turn the page, go to the paragraph, V'nitz'ak El Hashem, V'omro V'nitz'ak... I'm sorry, let's go to the one before that, actually. V'omro V'yareyu Asana Mitzrim. You see it? V'omro V'yareyu Asana Mitzrim. What does that mean? Shebe'emtzos yesodos ha'adam garmu gam lenefesh la'arshia kamosa. That because, he describes the paragraphs that we skipped over, that the dalet yesodos, the four elements by which every man is made up of, became damaged and ruined from the Yetzer Hara. And now it causes the neshama, which is sitting in this body, that is so filled with negativity, it has a hashpa on the neshama itself, on the nefesh itself. And that's v'yoreyu osanu. Pashup Shat in Vayarei Osanu is what? We went down to Mitzrayim. Vayarei Osanu means what? No, Pashup Shat? They afflicted us. They were abusive to us. They were bad to us. But the Rechaim HaKadosh has a vard here that many Sefer Chassidus say as well. And they elaborate on it. Vayarei Osanu doesn't just mean they were bad to us, but what? Vayarei Osanu, perish. Asu Osanu Raim Kamosam. They made us bad. They brought out the worst of us instead of bringing out the best of us. Tshuva, the whole process of tshuva, right, is throwing off this redefined self that the world has made you into. And getting back to who you're supposed to be. Not to allow the elements of the Bria to drag you down. Vayareyu osanu, they made us bad. They made us evil. They got us involved in all sorts of new things that really are not shayach for us. And it became an avodah kasha. We got involved in lowly things. And the avodah is now for us to try to free ourselves. Go to the next paragraph. Omer v'nitz'ak el Hashem. Kan ramaz shetzarech ha'adam lispal Hashem b'chol yom, she'atzileu mi'etzer hara. How's that for pretty straight advice? You need to daven every single day. Hashem, save me from the Yetzer Hara. Ask Hashem for help. The Yetzer Hara is stronger than you. He's smarter than you. He's better trained than you, like we saw the last couple of weeks. So you need to, the same way the Jews in Mitzrayim, when it's Ak El Hashem Elokeinu, they cried out to Elokei Avoseinu, and Hashem listened. So when you're also in Melchemes HaYetzer, and you're trying to fix what goes back to, all the way to Arami Oved Avi, to Adam HaRishon's Chei, so you need to daven to Hashem, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help you. And then, go to the next paragraph, Pasuches V'amru V'yotzi'enu Hashem Mitzrayim, Zo HaTzalas Yetzer Hara V'Kochosav HaMitzeirim Osan. To get out from the Mitzrayim of the Yetzer Hara means to get out from the squeeze of the Yetzer Hara. He has you in his clutches. His hands are wrapped tightly around you. So cry out to Hashem. Beg for help. And he quotes our Gemara in Kiddushin Daf Lamed. Shelulei Hashem ozer la'adam keneged Yetzer Hara. Without HaKadosh Baruch Hu's help, ain adam shalit li natzal mimenu. There was no way you'd be able to save yourself. And therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes, biyad chazaka, Of course, Yad Chazaka is a reference to the Torah, which was given to us with Hashem's right hand, right? Like it says later in the Torah, Mimino Ish Das Lamo, that through the Koch of Torah, we can free ourselves from the clutches of the Yitzhara and return to a Kaddish Baruch. Okay? Okay. Now the most famous passage of Aruch Chaim HaKadosh in this week's parsha. You're done? We should stop?
No, it just sounded really good. Alright? I was like, alright, so that doesn't sound like good. That was my favorite.
Adkan, that piece.
Okay.
Okay? Adkan, that piece. Adkan, that piece. Let's do two more pieces. It is getting a little late. You're right.
No, that was not my...
Let's do two more things. Okay? Take a look. See if you can find the paragraph. See if you can find the paragraph, please. It's a little hard to identify. It's on Pasuk Ches. You see where it says Va'omro v'ishtachavisa lefnei Hashem?
Va'omro v'ishtachavisa lefnei Hashem.
Turn the page. Okay, the paragraph right, the bottom paragraph, Tav Kuf Vav, in the bottom right hand corner, right? The paragraph right after Va'omro v'ishtachavisa lefnei Hashem. Va'amar lecha. Exactly. Okay? The Pasuk says that when you come to bring your Bikurim, you bow, you prostrate yourself before Hashem. And the Pasuk says, V'samach l'b'chol atov. Today was, I think, a triple header. We got to see three themes that we'll see a lot of. Number one, and this told, we haven't seen this fully yet. There's one more piece still. We're going to see how the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh speaks very positively about Klal Yisrael and very negatively about the world and the Umas Olam. Number one. Number two, we see how the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh is constantly talking about Milchemes HaYetzer. We've seen that every week, I think, so far. Number three, the other thing that I told you that we're going to see in the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, and we saw this also last week, sometimes you have such powerful lashonos about His love for the gift of Torah. So this is an extremely famous passage in the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh. Okay? On V'samach L'B'chol HaTov. You got to know this one. And I'll tell you how to learn it the way that I once heard it. Explained by Rav Noach Isaac Olbaum Shlita from Queens. Va'omer lecha lishlol zu lasa, lo malach v'lo saraf yizkal lezeh. V'samachta b'chol atov, Hashem is going to give you asher nasan lecha, the Pasuk says. Hashem gave you the greatest gift of all. That no one else other than the Jewish people, the angels don't have it. They fought for it, but they lost. Moshe won and brought it to us. What is it? The Torah. Gam yirmaz b'maymer b'chol atov el haTorah. Ka'omram Zal, like the Gemara says in Brachos, it's also Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Ein Tov el Torah. Tov is a code word for Torah. Tov is a code word for Torah. V'samachta b'chol atov, ein Tov el Torah. Listen to this, highlight this next couple lines. Shem hayu b'nei Adam. Margishin b'mesikus va'arevas tuv haTorah. If our physical senses could just perceive how sweet, how delightful Torah is, hayu mishtagim u'mislatim acharel, we would become meshuga from it. If we would just know how sweet, how awesome Torah really is. Not those days where you're sitting in front of the Mayim Makomos and just staring at it like, you know, waiting for who's going to make the first move, right? Shuva Eliva, Shuva Aleichem. You know, who goes first? Yeah? But those days where, like, you get into the sugya and you're really chopping it and you're understanding it and, like, there's such a big smile on your face and your heart is warmed. And he says, that's still not it. You still don't know how good Torah is. Ein Tov el Torah. There's nothing good. There's nothing as good as Torah. So let's explain it for a second, like the Michta Meliyahu explains Olam Haba. I wasn't thinking of saying this, but it just popped in my head, so I'll say it now. Right? The Michta Meliyahu explains the pleasure of Olam Haba in the following way. Because the Mishnah Pirkei Avos says, better one moment in Olam Haba than all of Chai Olam Hazeh. So how does the Michta Meliyahu from Hizra Beim explain that in the first Chalik? He says, think about the best thing that ever happened to you. Think about the best experience you ever had, the greatest feeling you ever had. Yeah? One word, one second of Olam Haba. Let's say that experience was like a whole day. One second, one a koras ruach is the lashon of the Mishnah Pirkei Avos. A whiff of Olam Haba is better than all of them. Now says the Michta Meliyahu, take a year's worth of pleasure. Take the best year of your life. And imagine if you could contract all of the best moments and all of those good feelings and fill your heart with all those feelings from an entire year. And feel it all in one shot. Doesn't compare. That pleasure that you feel, that intense explosion of pleasure in your heart, right? Doesn't compare to a split second of Olam Haba. Now imagine if you take all the pleasure of your entire lifetime and contract it and compact it into a single moment. It doesn't compare to a second of Olam Haba. Now imagine take not only your enjoyment, but imagine if you could take all the enjoyment of what? Of your entire family. Imagine if you could take your entire enjoyment, every good feeling experienced by every person on planet Earth today. Imagine if you could take every good feeling that was ever felt in the history of the world. Every moment of joy. Every moment of pleasure. And you can compact that into a pill. And you can swallow that pill. It doesn't compare to a split second of Olam Haba. That's what Chazal is telling us in the Mishnah Pirkei Avos. Says the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, if we knew, if we could experience how sweet Torah really is, how you mishtag, we would literally go out of our mind. We would be mishuga for it. Umislatim acharei, we would chase after it. V'lo yechashev ve'eneyam m'lo olam kesev ezov l'me'uma. You would not be impressed by a dollar, $10, $1 million, $1 billion. You would laugh. You would laugh at the possibility of trading a word of Torah for $1 billion. You would laugh at it. What a joke. All the pleasure I could buy with that $1 billion doesn't compare to literally a second of Torah. You'd be so meshuga for Torah if you knew what it was. Right? That you would never pursue money of any type or any sort. Ki ha-Torah kolelis kol ha-tovos sheba'olam. Because Torah encompasses all that is good in this world. Here's how I heard it explained by Rav Noach Isaac Olbem, Shlita. He said, in life, there are good things, but nothing that we have is totally good. He described that, imagine a person going on vacation. Yeah? He's deciding, where should I go on vacation? Baruch Hashem, you have the financial means to go on a nice vacation. Where should I go? Well, if I go winter break to Colorado to go skiing, so they have the best skiing, right? Maybe they have the best skiing. I hear they have the best skiing there. But in terms of kosher restaurants, it's more limited. If I go to Florida, so then I have, you know, good weather, and I have this, but I don't have that, right? If I go here, then this has the best attractions, but the accommodations aren't as nice. If I go to here, it's the best hotel, but it's very far from all the fun things you can do in the area, right? There's nothing in this world that has ala gut zach. There's nothing in this world that has everything good, right? This is really good, but it's really expensive. Right? This is very accessible, but it gets crowded because it's cheap, so people go there even though it's great. So there's nothing in this world that has all the milos, with the exception of Torah. V'samachta b'chol hatov. The Torah is kol hatov. The Torah is everything good. And therefore, we would just taste a drop of it, we would mamish go out of our minds. Okay, let's do one final piece. There's a lot of good things here. We'll have to save it for another year. Let's go to... Yeah, we do, so we do have to stop. At some point we have to stop. Okay, we don't want to set precedent that we do every piece. Let's go to Chaf Vav Yud Ches. V'Hashem ha'emir chala'am segula. Perech Chaf Vav Pasuk Yud Ches. V'Hashem ha'emir chayom lihiyos lo la'am segula. Hashem has distinguished you today to be for Him a treasured people. This is another one that you might want to like put a little star next to it, or highlight it, or cut it out and put it in your wallet, carry it around, have it blown up, and I don't know, pay for an ad in the New York Times and like print it, or hang it on your dorm wall, or send it to your friend in Binghamton who's off the derech and remind him who he really is. V'Hashem ha'emircha. Omro. Lios lo la'am segula. Look carefully. You see it? You have it? Everyone found it?
Yeah.
Hashem has distinguished you to be an am segula. What's a segula?
Treasure.
People like segulas. What's a segula? Segula is like a totally irrational thing, right? That like is awesome. And it does awesome things. Can't really explain why. Okay? Now, some people are very into segulas, some people are very anti-segulas, maybe it's a lack of tam tiyah m'shem lokecha, but there's one segula that we all have,
that we all carry around all the time, and it's guaranteed to work. It's a real segula, because Hashem says it's a segula, and that is the fact that you are you, that you're a Jew. Shagam shetovo uma acheres v'teitiv ma'aseh v'tishtadel hi davek b'shchina lo yasigu madregas Yisrael. What if there was another people on planet Earth that was a better people? That they recognize God more so than a Jew who's feeling disconnected from Hashem. That this person is working harder to attach himself to God. That this person is morally, perhaps more refined. They hold themselves to a higher moral standard. Does a Jew need to live with fear that he'll ever be replaced? Now again, I want to be very clear, because it sounds a little racist. We're welcoming to everyone. You want to join us? Come and join the Jewish people. And not only that, I always like to point out where Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky points out in his commentary on Pirkei Avos, and that is Shmaya v'Avtalion kiblu mehem. Who are Shmaya v'Avtalion? In the list of the Zugos, the Nasi and the Av Beis Din, the top two ranking Jews, Shmaya and Avtalion were converts. So we don't have a system that says that a convert can't climb the ranks and become a leader. Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva was a Ben Gairim, who was an off-the-derech Jew for a good portion of his life. And Rabbi Akiva became the linchpin in the transmission of Torah Shebaal Peh. Okay? So we invite everyone to join us. But now you're the Jew who's feeling not so good about himself. And you start to think, maybe Hashem doesn't love me. I don't understand why I'm the member of the chosen people. I don't feel worthy of such. Says the Pasuk, no one will ever replace you. Ubechina zo, and this bechina, tikare segula. That's what we call a segula. It doesn't really make sense that Hashem should love us so much if our behavior doesn't always reflect it. But a Jew has to know that be'etzem, he has to know who he really is. And be'etzem, he's segula. So this is segulas Yisrael. Vizo he could do lasam. Va'omro, kasher diber lach, b'maisa ar Sinai. Right? Hashem says, don't forget what I told you when we stood together at our Sinai. Under the chuppah. Va'isam li segula mikola amin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you're my beloved and I'll never replace you. Last paragraph for the day. O Yirtza, Shagam Shiyazman Chiach Isu Yisrael Sabori. Even in those moments where we anger Hashem, and we feel that Hashem is punishing us, and we feel that Hashem might be reconsidering whether He likes us, Afal Pichein Lo Yamiro Sambu Macharash, will never be exchanged for another nation. Something to take with us in the right way into the Yom Noram. The realization that Hashem loves us and we can do tshuva, because Hashem is never going to pick anyone other than us. Va'omer Kasher Diber Ka'omram. Pasuk says, Kasher Diber. What's the Kasher Diber? What conversation is it referencing? Like the Gemara in Brachos explains, V'niflino aniva amcha, shebikesh Moshe me'Hashem, shelo yasher shechinasa al umah. That Moshe Rabbeinu, the Gemara in Brachos says, beg the Kadosh Baruch Hu, let Klal Yisrael be unique. Right? V'hamircha. V'hamircha. The Pasuk says, Hashem made you distinct, distinguished. Again, Aleph Mem Resh in Tanakh sometimes means beloved. Hashem showed His love for you, and Moshe says, please, Hashem, don't ever choose anyone else. U'perashnuhu b'makomo chayfetz Hashem. I explained it in chayfetz Hashem. Learn something new here. What's the chayfetz Hashem? The Rechaim wrote a sefer on Shas called chayfetz Hashem on some of the Masechtos. So he wrote on Brachos. He has writings on Brachos called chayfetz Hashem. Shakavanu, I explained over there in Brachos. Hagam shetachshir ma'aseh u'ma me'umas v'Yisrael over Ritzono. Even if the nations are doing a better job, and the Jewish people are violating His will, HaKadosh Baruch Hu agreed to Moshe, Kasher Dibe, Hashem promised Moshe, you win, Moshe Rabbeinu. I'll never trade the Jewish people for anyone else. This is the segula of Klal Yisrael. And it gives us tremendous strength to believe that we can get to the Eretz Elyon. L'hayah Kisavah Arts will be able to come to Eretz Yisrael in a revealed sense in this world. And we'll be Zochem Yirtzeh Hashem to come to the Eretz Elyon, to that world of Olam Haba, hopefully in the schus of our own merits and our tremendous love for the Mesika Satov. Shkoyach. Ah, I'm